Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, brought to you by Bud Light. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Hy-Vee, the official tailgate headquarters of Cyclone football. Iowa Secretary of State and Iowa Voter Ready. Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourages you to be a voter. VoterReady.iowa.gov. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company, bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. It's time for the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Here's the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. We've got a fun show for you tonight. We're glad you could join us. And normally we don't do a show on football bye weeks, but I think we've got some interesting topics to talk about tonight. We're going to have Mark Coberly on, the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine at Iowa State. Obviously, that is, I don't have to get into the reasons why we would have Mark on the show this year of all years, but I think he'll be a great guest, and we can learn a lot. And Jack Whitfer is joining me tonight as our guest co-host. Hey, Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Good, good. How did the how'd the Cyclone Overreaction show go on Saturday?
You know, it was a rough one, but I always look at that show as therapy. And if we're too high, it brings us down. If we're too low, it kind of brings us back to normal. And just have a real conversation about where we're at as a program. And that's what it was on Saturday, for sure.
Well, and you know this better than anybody, Jack, other than maybe Chris Williams. The first show of the year is going to be the biggest reaction one way or the other. You know, if you win, everything's great. If you lose, everything's awful. And usually the truth lies somewhere in between, and I think we'll find that out over the course of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. The anticipation for the season, you know, the hype, all the articles, the magazines that come out, everyone's waiting to see what the 2020 version of the Cyclone football team looks like. And you're right, you know, historically, under Coach Campbell and a lot of Cyclone teams, week one doesn't tell you the full picture.
Right.
It tells you something. It tells you some information about your team, but Coach Campbell's teams have historically gotten better as the season has gone on. And so we know something about this team, but I still think there's a lot to learn as the season goes on.
If you'd like to reach out to us, you can do it via Twitter with hashtag CyCorner. That's hashtag CyCorner if you have a question or comment for Mark Coberly in the first 45 minutes of the show. And then in the last 45 minutes, we're going to have Jamie Pollard along and a lot to discuss with Jamie about week one in the Big 12 Conference and things going forward. There's so many moving parts. I swear within a week, the entire landscape just keeps on shifting. So we'll again catch up with Jamie and ask what we hope are some questions that can help inform and enlighten you as we go forward. Helping farmers interpret rules and regulations, find sites for new barns, exceed environmental rules, and enhance neighbor relations, all at no charge. Visit supportfarmers.com to find out more. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmer, your farm, your family, their focus. Jack Whitfer, our guest co-host. We're going to have Mark Coberly, Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine, along next. You're listening to the Cyclone Network from Learfield IMG College.
A winning team needs an ideal balance of players who can score on offense and those who play shutdown defense. Same is true to produce winning yields on the acres you farm. I'm John Latham. From Enlist E3 to Roundup Ready Extend, Genuity Smart Stacks to VT Double Pro, Latham High-Tech Seeds has the diversity you need. Find an ideal balance of genetics and traits at LathamSeeds.com or call 877-GO-LATHAM to talk winning yields field by field.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online same-day pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell. Joining my fellow coaches in the Iowa Secretary of State's office in encouraging you to register to vote. It's easy. You can go online anytime and register at voterready.iowa.gov. If you've moved since the last election, it's important to keep your voter registration up to date.
Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourage you to be a voter. Voterready.iowa.gov.
At MidAmerican Energy, being obsessively, relentlessly at your service means delivering reliable, affordable energy to you. And it also means marking underground utility lines before you break ground to keep you safe. Trimming trees to keep them away from electric lines so power is there when you need it. And it means working safely and quickly to power your home and business, no matter what the weather. Obsessively, relentlessly at your service. That's MidAmerican Energy.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to ualocal33.org.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
And welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner. John Walters along with Jack Whitfer, our guest co-host tonight. And we're joined by the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine, Mark Culberly. And tonight's show is brought to you by Iowa's Corn Farmers of the Iowa Corn Growers Association and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board. Just like the top athletes, Iowa leads the nation in corn and ethanol production. Follow Iowa Corn to learn how corn grows Iowa. Mark, I know you're extraordinarily busy. I appreciate you taking the time tonight. I think you could probably write a heck of a book about the last 6 months, but can you kind of give us the Reader's Digest version of what that time frame has been like for you and your staff?
Yeah, first of all, evening, John, Jack, glad to be on. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. You know, it probably started, we really started in earnest in April. Obviously, you know, when the pandemic hit in March, you know, we spent the first 10 days trying to figure out what we're going to do with, you know, our athletes here and where were they going and how are we going to keep track of them. So we spent the first month or so doing a lot of telemedicine and keeping track of where people were at and trying to get some systems up and running to make sure we could extend services to them wherever they were at and make sure they were getting taken care of. And then, you know, towards the end of April, we started looking at when people come back, what's that going to take? And obviously nobody had any answers or didn't even know what all the questions were going to be, quite honestly. And so we just started picking our way through it and trying to, you know, lean on others that were going through the same things and finding out as much science and information as we could to help us make some good decisions, and started with some preliminary planning. And when it looked like we might have an opportunity to start bringing some people back, we launched a pilot project where some of the student athletes that had had some surgery and were going to do rehab with us, we pilot project them when they came in. Did what we thought was going to be some of our sequencing procedures for getting them in and getting them out, and actually taking a look at what exactly were they doing and what were all the things they were touching and what does human interaction really look like, things you don't normally pay attention to, and took a bunch of notes on that and kind of started to formulate our plan for what might it be like when we brought all the athletes back. And then when we got to go ahead to do that, we were able to do that in conjunction with obviously Coach Campbell and Aaron Hellman and Dave Andrews and the whole gang of people here, and particularly in football. And we started with football, and then knowing we were going to bring some of the other fall sports back right after that, we used football as a kind of a template for what we were going to do with the other sports. So it's been a long road. We're not nearly there yet, obviously. We're still battling our way through it. But, yeah, someday maybe we'll take the time to sit down and write about all the things that happened.
No, Mark, you know, I think – you specifically and Iowa State in general has been known as kind of a leader in a lot of different areas, whether it's concussions or recovery techniques or so forth, recovery from surgeries and that kind of thing. And so this is a whole new area that we're working with. And I'd be curious to know, like, a lot of us understand how detailed training camp is as far as treatment and recovery from practice and so forth, but this has added a whole different dynamic. And so talk a little bit about the extra measures you guys have had to take into consideration throughout training camp that has change the schedule, and you know everyone's affected by COVID, but it's certainly changed your normal routine that you've been used to over the decades. So what has that been like to try to adapt to this new COVID era?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jack. That's where the summer programming for us really was a large benefit. When we brought football back, we brought them in small groups of 15 and had them separated out. We knew one of the keys to success was going to be don't put large numbers of people in areas at the same time so that if there was an outbreak, we have fewer people that are contact traced or affected. So we started with that. And as we went through the summer, we got a little more comfortable with what are our big roadblocks. So you're right, details are very important on this. And Coach Campbell obviously prides himself on not letting details slide. And so it's been really easy for us to work with them on that. But we've done things like our team meeting. We no longer have team meetings in a big auditorium up here because people are too close together. So we find a location where our players can be 6 feet apart. So we go over and meet in Hilton Coliseum in a couple of sections there. Or position meetings have been put in other buildings on campus where there's larger rooms where we could put tables 10 feet apart and they watch film 10 feet apart where they're masked. And so logistically, it's been really hard because we're using a lot of locations, not necessarily right within this building, but other locations where we can take advantage of spacing and some of the things we're trying to do to keep transmission risk to a minimum. And thus far, it's been pretty successful. Even the weight room, you know, we're using two different weight rooms. Coach Andrews has them, and those weight rooms are divided up so that we can space people apart, not have them close together when they're working out. And really the only time they're close together at all in proximity is when they're on the practice field. And even then, our practices early on were divided up so that we kept contacts to a minimum. And that's been one of the keys is, you know, you try to think of every scenario you can think of where people might be in contact with each other or close to each other, and how can you maximize that the best you can. And, you know, again, we're still working through it now. I mean, each day we learn a little bit more. And, you know, we obviously took some notes from the games from the weekend and going to the hotel and traveling and things like that. And we'll be using those moving forward as we get ready to head to TCU.
Mark, the Big 12 did put those testing protocols in place. How did you feel like the execution of that went in week one?
Execution was really good. We actually had an opportunity to do a test run the week before the first game. So, you know, when the testing protocols came out, it was, you know, to begin with, it was, you know, once a week testing, and then that turned into two times a week. And then when the Big 12 said there's going to be three tests a week and the last test needs to be within the day before the game, you know, the Big 12, we contracted out to a third party for that day before antigen testing. The week before the first game, they actually came in and we did a pilot run with the football players and the staff just to get a feel for where our hurdles might be there. It went pretty well, and we were glad we did it. We learned a few things from that made it a lot easier, you know, when we got to last Friday. So it went from our end, it went very, very well. I know, John, you were part of that, so that was a lot of fun. having them stick some swabs in your nose, but
you can't beat that.
Yeah. Great way to start your Friday morning.
Yeah.
And but no, it went really well. The results are back very timely. You know, it allows us to, you know, that's necessary because if we're going to have any positives, obviously the coaching staff has to make changes in who the travel party is or who the travel roster is going to be. And if it's any staff, you know, we have to make some adjustments there, you know. So, it went pretty well. I mean, we were a little leery of it to begin with. We were really glad we had that one week test run a week before the first game, and then this week went pretty well.
So TCU, our next opponent, obviously had to cancel their game this last week against SMU. Because of COVID outbreaks. And I'm sure it's a whole new world for you to have to talk to the opposing team, training staff, just to keep up to date on what's going on with their program and their team. But is this something that we just have to deal with this year, that we don't know until Friday whether the game's actually going to happen this year? And how much communication do you have with TCU, and how much do you know about the chances of our game actually happening in 2 weeks?
Yeah, so first of all, how much communication do we have? I actually just got off the call with everybody in the Big 12 about 30 minutes ago. We have at least one call a week with all the people in my role at each one of the institutions and most of the team physicians, and we've been doing that all summer. And that we've really never done that before COVID, so we have pretty constant communication going on between parties there. I mean, the reality of it is, we all have a pretty good sense for where we're at, but it only takes, you know, one small outbreak to turn into a several people that might take a position group down. you know, or a part of a coaching staff down. And so, man, you, each week, you know, you go through, you know, it literally is one day at a time, and you take one day at a time and hope for the best the next day. And, you know, hopefully you don't have that day where you've got an outbreak of something that happened and, you know, you're down a bunch of people and don't have enough people to play. So, you know, there's possibilities it could be Friday before we know a game is going to be canceled. I think in TCU's situation, they knew they had several guys affected. And, you know, if you're going to have people that are going to be down and they're infected, they're going to be down for, you know, a minimum of 2 weeks. And realistically, it's going to be 3 weeks or a little longer by the time they get through all the cardiac testing and all that stuff along with it. And so I think they had a sense they were going to be down some numbers, and they needed to get a handle on how can they control, you know, the outbreak first and then get that under control and then be prepared to play whenever that next game is going to be. So I think that probably played into their decision on delaying things with SMU. I don't know the details, but I can see that scenario playing out.
We're visiting with Mark Coberly. He is the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine at Iowa State. Jack Whitford, our guest co-host, and we'll come back with more on the Cyclone Network from Learfield IMG College.
Looking for a new truck or SUV? Hurry into your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com, where you'll save big on the full lineup of 2020 Ford models, like the completely redesigned Escape and Explorer, the powerful Edge, the roomy Ford Expedition, or America's best-selling truck, Ford F-150. Buy now and get low financing on the Ford truck or SUV that's built for all of life's biggest adventures. Get to your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com today. Best-selling truck claim based on 2019 CY sales.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online same day pickup. Just choose the get it faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Farming. It's genetics. It's what you are, who you are, what you're made of. It's agronomy. Local knowledge of your land and having the tools to put the right product in the right place. It's built on service with trust, grit, and determination. Because what it takes to make the best product is a lot like what it takes to make a farmer. Golden Harvest. Rooted in genetics, agronomy, and service. Talk to your local Golden Harvest seed advisor or visit goldenharvestseeds.com.
The Iowa Corn Cyhawks Series is on hold for this season. Iowa's corn farmers want you to know that we will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for. Iowa Corn is looking forward to the future and ready for the day when our schools face each other on the field. Because here in Iowa, we grow corn. But the truth is, corn grows Iowa.
At MidAmerican Energy, we harvest the wind to provide you with clean, affordable energy. But did you know our commitment to wind energy also creates jobs and generates millions in local revenue? That's money your community can use to fix roads, support first responders, and improve schools. MidAmerican Energy's commitment to renewable energy delivers positive results for our state. And it's one more way we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service, and they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies, and that's something you can always count on.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. John Walters along with Jack Whitford, guest co-hosting tonight. And our guest is Mark Coberly. He's the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine for Iowa State Athletics. And Cyclone fans, stop by Size Locker Room to gear up for game day. Size Locker Room is the official store of Iowa State Athletics. Mark, you mentioned something a little bit earlier, which is traveling. Hosting a football game is one thing. Taking your team on the road is another altogether, and that's the upcoming challenge with the trip to TCU. What are some of the hurdles that you need to get in place to make sure, or clear, to make sure that your guys get to Fort Worth safely, and then that once they're there, they're reducing the risks as much as possible?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we're still hammering out some of the details, but we've got a pretty good idea. You know, it actually might be a little bit easier when you hit the road because you can actually create your bubble, you know, of people that you're in contact with. And obviously we're going to go through the testing first thing on Friday morning before we leave. And once we get the clearance that everybody's okay and we know nobody's infected, then we'll hit the road. And, you know, we're going to do some things like, you know, you got to approach every day like somebody might get sick or might be positive, so you want to keep contacts to a minimum. So we'll probably, for sure, we're going to increase the number of buses we take. We're going to spread the people out in the buses more. The plane, you know, the seating is going to be spread out. We're not taking nearly as many people on a trip as we normally would. You know, Skip, our director of operations, and I have had conversations, and he's outstanding. And, you know, they'll do some seating charts and seating arrangements so the same people are by each other the whole trip, so that if we would have an outbreak, that would be kept to a minimum. You know, we'll try to do the best we can with our rooms, with our guys, and spread those out so they have the same roommates probably as they have at home, and try to keep our contact list down. We'll obviously, you know, be doing the other preventative things like masking and hand sanitizers and wipes and things will be out like that. The hotel is going to be, you know, closed off like it normally is, but it may be to even a greater extent. We had a good run last weekend with, you know, the food services here at our hotel, so we learned some things there. You know, some of our meals are going to be prepackaged. Some things are going to be delivered to guys' rooms. Our team meetings, Coach Campbell has changed up our team meeting schedule, so we're not meeting as a big group quite nearly as much. We're doing a lot of that at home before we leave. So there's a lot of things we're trying to step through. You know, we have great relationships with my counterparts in the NFL, and they've got their manuals of how they're going to hit it on the road, and we're trying to replicate as much of that as possible and learn from them. And, you know, at the same time, you know, they're learning some things from us. So we're doing everything we can to try to minimize things as much as we can. And again, like I said, every day it's just another day, one more step forward, and learn as much as you can and try to continue to keep your knowledge base improving.
So we've talked a lot about coronavirus and the impacts, and this is kind of about that, but also about the off season. So, you know, as we all know, spring ball is really important to develop and prepare players for the season. Summer conditioning and summer training gets the players ready for fall camp, and then obviously a month of fall camp gets them ready for the first game. How obviously some of that was disrupted, but are you comfortable with the amount of work those guys got and kind of the changes that were made, and how were they able to kind of adjust and prepare for what is a very, very rigorous football season?
Yeah, I think from a time perspective, we hit it just about right. I mean, you know, Dave Andrews came on board, and he's outstanding in every way, and he had a good plan, and he's got a good, you know, holistic approach to everything. The thing we missed out on, obviously, just from a football perspective, is that 15 practices of football, putting pads on and, you know, and actually playing the sport a little bit. The guys that probably missed out the most were some guys that were coming off of rehabs or surgeries last season. Sometimes you can use spring ball to do some limited work with some pads on and try to get your confidence back so that when you hit the summer, you're like, man, I did pretty good there and I'm ready to go. So a few guys missed out on that. But, you know, we were able to get some guys healthy, had a great plan to start, right, you know, when we started in the middle of June. The frustrating thing for Dave and Coach Campbell and everybody was we weren't sure what the starting date was going to be. And so you were projecting starting dates and working backwards, and we would get into July, and then, you know, they were going to delay things another week. Well, then you have to change your plans for another week. And so it was probably more frustrating for the coaches and the strength staff, you know, and our medical staff, and trying to figure out when's the exact starting point going to be and working backwards from there. But from a player's perspective, Dave did a great job with not giving them too much too soon. Everybody wants to get really excited early, and sometimes you end up with a bunch of problems from that. But I think they timed it real well, and our guys handled it real well. Our players have been just outstanding since the middle of June. You know, they were outstanding when they were at home, but once they got back to campus, man, they've been outstanding and listening to everything everybody has to say and trying to follow the plan.
Says a lot about those guys, doesn't it, Mark? And about the direction of the program under Coach Campbell and the respect that he garners from those athletes that they do want so badly to make sure to get through this season as healthy as possible as a team for everybody's good, now, obviously their own, but you know, would they have that carrot out there of wanting to go compete for a Big 12 championship? And these guys have proven what we can do collectively if we commit to it.
Yeah, they've been unbelievable. I know we met on the, you know, when the players first came back, and we actually had Zoom calls before they came back, and we were looking at the situation, and we knew full out, and we told football, and we've told all the rest of our coaches and athletes, at the end of the day, the decisions all of us make when we're away from our facilities are what's going to make or break this. We feel that everything can be really safe when they're in and around the facilities, and so our guys bought in right away, you know, to how difficult it was going to be and some of the things they were going to have to give up, you know, some of the normal social activities that college kids go through, and, you know, just being a 20-year-old college student, and it's not going to be the same as everybody else, and, you know, the risks that are involved. And we told them up front, we know it's going to be really hard. It's going to be way harder than you think it's going to be, and we're all going to have to do it. And, man, I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more proud to be associated with, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, that have tried to do that all along and will continue to try to do that. But, yeah, it all starts with Coach Campbell and his staff and their philosophy, and they've been great, as well as the rest of our student-athletes. You know, once they've gotten back, they're all starting to buy in. And, you know, our testing results over the last 2 or 3 weeks have started to indicate that, you know, that the athletes are taking this pretty seriously. And there is some sacrifices involved to try to make this thing go, to try to play sports during a pandemic.
Yeah, football coaches and players are notorious for, like, liking the routine. They want to know the schedule. They don't want to change things. And I know Coach Campbell personally. I don't know how he is as a football coach, but I would guess he's the same way and these players are the same way. So how do you deal with that? Like, you're the one bringing the bad news. Like, we got to do this test. We got to, you know, we can't do X, Y, or Z. Like, have they been able to adjust fairly well to that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, one of the things I've learned over doing this as long as I have is you try to anticipate where those changes are going to be and let everybody know ahead of time. And yeah, for the most part, we've been able to do that. Like, we'll plan out, here's when the testing is going to be, tell me what your schedule looks like, let's find a time that all this stuff works. But at the end of the day, you know, all of a sudden you've got a positive case with 2 or 3 people that were close contacts, and you go and tell them, hey, this person's going to be out, or these people are contacts and they're going to be down for a while and we're going to have to go through some testing, and all of a sudden it changes what they're going to do for that afternoon. So, I mean, you know, nobody's happy about it, but Coach Campbell's been really good about understanding, you know, we don't control all this. We control what we know we control, and those are the things we're going to focus on. But, man, it's frustrating for everybody when you have to make these last-minute changes due to some circumstances that obviously are unique. But we've tried to do a really good job of pre-planning all these things that are not normal, like testing and sequencing players into the building and out of the building or into the practice field and taking temperatures and, you know, doing their daily health questionnaires electronically and giving us alerts and things like that. So we've tried to make that now the routine, and that has kind of become the routine. But, yeah, there are still days when something comes up, and, yeah, you're right. No, I don't. Nate Postma, you know, doing football for us, he doesn't want to walk in Coach Campbell's office with those unexpected things, and neither do I, you know. But I've been doing it long enough to know that we can't control some of that, but we have to handle it so that it doesn't, you know, create further problems. So he understands that, but that doesn't make it any less frustrating, I think, sometimes.
You never want to be the guy that nobody wants to see. You know, that's never a good feeling.
Right.
Mark Coberly is the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine at Iowa State. Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host. We're going to pause here for 10 seconds to allow our stations to identify themselves. This is the Cyclone Network from Learfield, IMG College. All right, we're enjoying our conversation with Mark Coberly. If you have a question or comment for Mark, you can reach out to us via Twitter with hashtag SideCorner, and we'll come back with more of the Cyclone Coaches Corner on the Cyclone Network from Learfield, IMG College.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add Coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, your farm, your family, our focus.
Farming. It's genetics. It's what you are, who you are, what you're made of. It's agronomy, local knowledge of your land and having the tools to put the right product in the right place. It's built on service with trust, grit, and determination. Because what it takes to make the best product is a lot like what it takes to make a farmer. Golden Harvest, rooted in genetics, agronomy, and service. Talk to your local Golden Harvest seed advisor or visit goldenharvestseeds.com.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service. And they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies. And that's something you can always count on.
Wherever people work, live, or play, there is a plumber and steam fitter who made it possible. In today's business climate, you need partners you can trust. Partners that care about your company and your customers. Partners like the plumbers and steam fitters, Local Union 33. Local Union 33 finds the right people, trains them exceptionally well, and supplies a qualified workforce, whether you need general or specialized skills. For more information, log on to UALocal33.org.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Isles Online same day pickup. Just choose the get it faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
And welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner. We're visiting tonight with Mark Coberly. He's the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine at Iowa State. And our guest co-host is Jack Whitfer, former Cyclone wide receiver. And we are brought to you by Iowa's Corn Farmers. Corn is a multi-purpose crop benefiting our entire state. It feeds our livestock, nourishes our families, and provides clean-burning fuel for our planet. You might think Iowa grows corn, but the truth is corn grows Iowa. Mark, you mentioned Nate Postman. I just want to give you an opportunity, and I know you probably can't mention all of them, but just to have the platform here for a second to thank your staff, because what a trying time for your entire department. Unbelievable hours that everybody's putting in, and it's not going to let up on that end anytime soon, you know, as the sports seasons are just starting. But, man, you've got a lot of good help, and I'm sure you appreciate that right now.
Yeah, we got an incredible staff of, you know, 14 here of athletic trainers, and, you know, Nate's doing football, and Megan Hussey and Mike Montgomery and Zach Brigham, they've been pounding at this all summer, you know, since May, you know, and you know, been pretty much going 7 days a week all summer with no vacations, and they haven't batted an eye, and they've been great. The rest of our staff's, you know, been working on our planning for helping plan for football, and then obviously planning for the rest of their sports. And our physicians, you know, Dr. Shulman and Dr. Bancroft, and, you know, we got a lot of people on campus that are helping us, everybody from President Winterstein's office to the people at VetMed that are processing the tests, you know, yeah. Student Health Service, you know, engineering departments on campus. It's been, you know, obviously crazy, but also very satisfying, you know, knowing that there's a lot of really smart people at this institution that care about Iowa State and Iowa State athletics, and everybody's trying to pitch in for the betterment of everything. And yeah, I'm super fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of really good people. And, you know, we're just trying our best to try to navigate this.
And I can attest as a former player, how hard these athletic trainers work. They're always the first ones in the building in the morning. They're always the last ones out of the building. And I probably should have opened this with this, Cobes, but I just want to thank you on behalf of all the Cyclone fans for just getting us to the point where we can play football. You know, so many of us, I think, we're just wondering, you know, even when the game's scheduled, like, are we really going to play it? Are we going to get through this and get the number of tests back in a positive way that allow us to play? And I just want to thank you guys for that and giving us all a chance to watch football and try to get back to normal as much as possible. But as we keep going through the season, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Friday test, and, you know, if they come back okay, we can play the game. What are the Big 12 standards? Like, what's the standard to say, yep, we're good, we're going to get on the plane and go, or we're going to cancel this game? How does that work?
Yeah, those decisions have been made above me. You know, what we have seen so far is you have to have 53 available players, and there's certain numbers of people at certain positions that have to be available to keep the game on. I think that if there start to be a bunch of positive tests, there'll be conversations between the administrations, between the two schools and the league office to try to decide what's best. So, you know, our job here is to try to manage, you know, the cases as best we can, help with all the testing, monitor things, do as good a job as we can to keep people healthy. And if we start to get an outbreak, there'll be, you know, the powers that be at the conference and the administrations between the two schools will get together and make a decision. But there are some guidelines from the Big 12 on the minimal number of players it would need to be able to play a game.
Mark, this is probably a message for all of us, not just athletes right now, but how important are flu shots going to be this year in particular for anybody listening out there tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be really important. You know, they're predicting a flu season that could be, you know, pretty heavy. Obviously, you throw that on top of COVID. You know, we're going to want to vaccinate as much as we can, and we're going to really encourage our players and staff to get flu vaccinations. It's already happened where people have gotten an influenza on top of COVID, and that's never obviously going to be good. And so we're trying to keep illnesses to a minimum. It's been really interesting. One of the things we've wondered is, because we're doing so much, you know, to prevent COVID, are we going to see a drop in some of our other illnesses? And we're hopeful that's the case, but we're going to take every precaution we can to try to keep that to a minimum. But certainly flu shots are going to be important this fall.
So the non-coronavirus question of the day, the first one, for those of us that did listen to the post game and kind of hear coaches' press conference, how'd the team come out of the game? Fairly healthy? Anything to be majorly concerned of heading into the Big 12 season?
Yeah, I think it was about kind of a normal Saturday, you know, some bumps and bruises, and hopefully everybody will be ready to go.
Mark, you hear periodically, I mean, maybe once a week, you will see a tweet, hey, breaking news. We saw one today from the University of Pittsburgh about a development. We see them, we start getting excited, but we don't know anything, okay? So asking somebody who does know things, what makes you optimistic? I mean, have there been some breakthroughs or some trends in the last, you know, 3-4 weeks that have given you optimism?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, just in my opinion, again, I'm not the world's leading COVID expert, but, you know, in watching what goes on, one of the things we told our coaches all summer was, you know, don't believe everything that comes out in the news, because you don't know what's true and what's not true, and it's got to filter itself out. But one of the things that's kind of optimistic to me is, I know everybody's been, you know, kind of down about the antibodies and how they're disappearing after a short period of time. But the research that's out there now is pointing to the fact that, you know, your body can develop T cells that can probably help battle this should you get exposed again. And if you do get exposed again, and if it was a possible for a second infection, it wouldn't be as high. There's a lot of people out there theorizing now that some people already have these T cells, and that may be why they're not getting as sick. So some of that research has been, you know, to me, is show some light at the end of the tunnel. We got a long ways to go. You know, the best thing we can do is try to do everything we can to eliminate transmission in the public, so these numbers continue to dive down, because the fewer the people that have it, the less chance other people have of getting sick. And so the first thing we got to do is we got to get this under control as best as we can. And even prior to having a vaccine, we've got to do that. And so that's why you've seen, you know, the stress, you know, not just from us, so that, you know, to keep people healthy from an athletics perspective and maybe have chance to have games again, but just in general, the public, you know, if they can protect themselves, you know, and try to get these numbers to drop down, the less chance there are people going to be infected, and we can slow this pandemic down and try to get back life to normal a little bit sooner. But I've been really encouraged by the fact that they think the T cells have a chance to help us battle this, you know, down the road long term. looking beyond the next year or so. But yeah, this isn't going away anytime soon, and it is the new normal for a while. But man, we're trying to do everything we can to help educate people on what we can do to shorten this up.
So we often talk about other sports and football on this call-in show, and obviously have the same situation with our other sports, volleyball and soccer, and specifically, are they having the same success the football team has as far as keeping cases down and being able to play games, not just at Iowa State, but maybe across the conference? As we look forward towards basketball and the winter sports, is it easier to keep it under control with the smaller teams than it is, say, 115 guys on a football team?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's kind of got a two-sided answer. In one aspect, it's a little bit easier because there's fewer number of people that can get infected, but because of the nature of the sports of the smaller team, if one person gets infected, it's going to affect a lot more percentage of the team. So far in the fall sports, from what we have seen, now volleyball is just getting ready to start their games here in another week and a half. It sounds like the soccer teams across the league were pretty successful. Once the athletes have gotten on campus and you can get, 3 to 4 weeks in, and get through that first round of positive tests and try to get everybody isolated and get testing going and get everybody doing the right things away from the facilities, so far it's been fairly successful for most everybody. And so the real challenge, I think, is going to be, as we're looking towards the winter sports, sports that are indoors with closed air and people in closer contact with each other, it's going to be a higher risk. So we're hoping that the positivity rates go down. We're hoping that the illness itself is less prevalent, but it's going to be a challenge for the indoor sports as we head back inside, here in a couple of months. And it's certainly stuff that we're looking at and everybody's aware of, in our basketball teams and, our indoor sports teams are trying to do a good job now of their pre-planning, and they're working out in smaller groups right now, being mindful of that. But at some point in time, they're going to have to play the sport, and so we're going to have to do as much as we can to mitigate all those risks as best we can for those sports as well.
Well, Mark, it's a really low bar, but I feel smarter after talking to you every time. So I know our audience probably feels the same way. I really appreciate you taking the time. I think it not only helps people to understand what the athletics department is going through, but I think it all helps all of us to just learn more about what we're facing here. So thanks for taking some of your valuable time with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. Great to talk to you guys. Good to talk to you, Jack.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. Mark Cloverly.
All right, thanks, John.
Yep, you bet. Thank you. Mark is the Associate Athletics Director for Sports Medicine. What he and his staff have done, and maybe Jamie Pollard can touch on this a little bit more. I know he did a week ago, but it's just you can't put it into words what those guys and gals have done for this athletics department in the last 6 months. It's off the charts what it's meant to this community. And so thankful to Mark and his staff, and we appreciate him joining tonight. Jamie Pollard will come along next, and we encourage your questions or comments. You can reach us via Twitter with hashtag SciCorner. Jack Whitford, our guest co-host, back with more in the Cyclone Coaches Corner from Learfield, IMG College.
While the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series is on hold for this season, Iowa's corn farmers want you to know that we will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for. Iowa Corn is looking forward to the future and ready for the day when our schools face each other on the field. Because here in Iowa, we grow corn. But the truth is, corn grows Iowa. As proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, your premier Chevy dealers know how important a great lineup truly is. In fact, they have a skilled team of their own with versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. With players like this, it's no wonder Chevy's the number one selling brand in Iowa. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find a dealer near you. Based on IHS market calendar year to date, May 2020 new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
Did you know that as a Mid-American Energy customer, nearly half of your life is powered by the wind energy we provide? That means when you're at home fixing a snack, or at work sending emails, you're using wind energy. Investing in wind helps us keep your rates low. Renewable wind energy. It's clean, affordable, and powerful. And it's one more way Mid-American Energy is obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
Why choose between the technology you need and the seed company you prefer? With Rob Seco, you don't have to. Our independence lets us bring you the trait technology you need, like the Enlist E3 and the LibertyLink GT27 systems, AgriSure Duracade, AgriSure Viptera, AgriSure Artesian, and more. So you have the independence to plant what you want. The technology you need from the people you trust. Rob Seco. Visit robseco.com to find a representative near you.
Everyone knows the keys to victory are a winning strategy and execution. And when it comes to crop farming, the most proven strategy for success is to store now, profit later. And the most proven way to execute this plan is with Sukup Manufacturing. Drying and storing your grain in Sukup dryers and bins is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. And with early season discounts underway, now is the time to start planning for next harvest. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Back to the Cyclone Coaches Corner. Our thanks to Mark Coberly, who joined us in the first part of the program tonight. Now we have Jamie Pollard joining us, and Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host. All season long, our friends at Pivot Bio will be sponsoring First Downs for Farmers. With each Cyclone First Down, Pivot Bio will donate $25 to future farmers in the Iowa State College of Agriculture. Pivot Bio, the agricultural sciences company that's not content to just get in the end zone. They're the ones moving the goalposts, and we appreciate their support. And we appreciate Jamie Pollard joining us. Jamie, just to start off, let's get your thoughts on how your feeling is on how the game day operation went on Friday with soccer and Saturday with football, the first two events on our Cyclone Athletics calendar this year.
Well, it was nice to be back, quote, in the saddle and having athletic teams competing. And so, regardless of the outcomes, regardless of how things went and if we can improve things or learn from it, the most important thing was we were back competing, and that was really enjoyable. I would say overall positive from that standpoint, from an operations standpoint.
Well, Jamie, this is Jack Whitfer. Same thing I said to Cobes. Thank you for all the work that it took to get us to the point where we actually had a football game. You know, we sit around all spring and summer just wondering if we're actually going to get to that point. And I know it took a tremendous amount of effort and flexibility to get us to that point. But we all want to thank you just for bringing football back. And we know that the team's going to continue to get better and improve as we go along. As you're trying to prepare for this season with so many changes, so many moving targets, how much are you talking to the other athletic directors and kind of learning best practices and communicating about what they're going to do as far as fans, no fans, scheduling games, all that? How much are you talking to those guys compared to how much you normally would talk to them?
Well, we've certainly communicated a lot more frequently and deliberately and intentionally over the last 3 to 4 months with regular calls, just about all the minutiae, nuances that go into doing this. And then quite frankly, even since Saturday, I've had some calls from some folks that didn't have a home game that, from around the country that just, wanted to know, okay, what did you learn? What did you take away? Any suggestions? My biggest takeaway from Saturday was have your band, because I thought our marching band was absolutely outstanding. I mean, so is the Spirit Squad, but I mean, the band playing their instruments really, made a huge difference inside the stadium. And, not everybody got to do that. I mean, I know Texas didn't have a band, Kansas didn't have a band. And I, that was my number one takeaway is have your band, have as many band members as you can, and think about what we did because it was really advantageous. Then secondly, I think there's some things that we can do better from just crowd noise. And we didn't hit where we needed to be. We need to do better on that front. But at the same time, I watched the NFL games this weekend, Jack, and when you have to adhere to the policies, that, you know, it's a reminder that, you know, fans can cheer all the way through the snap. But any music you're bringing in, whether it's the band or fan noise, you know, as soon as the team goes to the line of scrimmage, you got to stop it. And without fans in the stands, when you stop it, it gets awfully quiet. And, you know, you saw that in the Viking-Packer game yesterday. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a field day because there was no noise during that time period. So that's an adjustment for all of us, but I think we can do better on that front. And there'll be things I'll learn. This, you know, I've got a call tomorrow with all my Big 12 ADs, and there's some things I'm going to ask them about that I would like to know how they did it so we can maybe be better in the future.
There's a very subtle jab from Green Bay Packers fan Jamie Pollard to our producer here in the press box tonight, Dave Sproul, a big Vikings fan. Maybe not so subtle. Jamie, I think all of us breathed a collective sigh of relief and really celebrated your tweet on Friday that all the tests were negative. I mean, that alone was a huge victory, wasn't it?
Well, you know, it was. And, you know, just full disclosure, as we go forward, you know, that's not something I'm always going to do. You know, the day we have one, and then, you know, then everybody knows who that one is, because process of elimination. So it's not something we're going to probably get in a week, you know, a daily habit of kind of tweeting that out. But I just thought going into the first game, as you all have already said, a lot went into getting to the starting line. And, you know, we were, you know, T-minus 5 days, T-minus 3 days, T-minus 1 day, and every one of those tests, you know, was critical. And so just felt like needed to share that with our fan base. Because it was important. And you're right, getting everybody to the starting line, at least from a COVID standpoint, was really important. Clearly, there were some players that, you know, didn't suit up because of other injuries. But, you know, everybody got to the starting line from COVID. And, you know, you had Mark Coberly on before me, but he deserves so much of the credit for that.
So, obviously, the schedule has changed several times over the last 3 months, and I guess as an introductory question, I'd be curious on just your thoughts on all that and all the changes. But also going forward, how much flexibility is the schedule set, or is there still some flexibility in there? If teams have to cancel, you're gonna have to just find an opponent that's healthy that week, or what's the Big 12 saying about that protocol?
Well, you know, we built in the bye week and the ability, if we needed to move the championship game back a week, to be able to try to accommodate if there's times where a team can't answer the bell. And, you know, we saw it last weekend with TCU and SMU. We saw it with Baylor. You know, now Baylor, fortunately, is picking up a game this weekend against Houston. We saw it with the Oklahoma State Tulsa game, and, you know, that's going to be this weekend. So, you know, the need to go get a different opponent besides a Big 12 opponent probably is not going to happen. You know, that was kind of taking place this first week. I think on a go forward, it will be all conference games. At least that's how I assume it. You know, but, you know, that's going to be the reality of what we're dealing with. And hopefully everybody can answer the bell the rest of the season. You know, one of the things that, you know, just to put stark reality to it, and, you know, when a Big 12 team can't play, you know, that's $3 to $4 million our conference loses out from our television contract. You know, so every time someone can't answer the bell, that's a big hit to our conference financial coffers. And, you know, we all share in that equally. So when Baylor couldn't play, and, you know, Oklahoma State couldn't play, and TCU couldn't play, you know, that directly impacts Iowa State. And so that's what makes this so challenging, and why we built in those weeks to try to make up as many games as possible.
That's really good information that I think a lot of people, including myself, would not have thought of, but that's a very important point. Jamie, what's the approximate time frame for making the decision on whether or not some fans can attend the game against Oklahoma?
Well, you know, Dr. Winterstein and myself will continue to, you know, work with her leadership team to watch the things that we need to follow. There's probably really three factors. One that's already transpired, but, you know, number one, most importantly, is, you know, what's happening you know, real time with positivity rates both in Story County and on our campus. You know, what's exciting, the numbers are doing exactly what they thought we thought they would 2 weeks ago. The student numbers, you know, the first week, the weeks for the students have gone 4%, 4%, 13%, 25%, 13%, and this week back down to 8%. So, you know, from the moment in time that we said no fans, the student numbers have dropped from 25 to 13 to 8, and I fully envision, you know, one more week from now, they'll be 8 or even lower. Story County's numbers have dropped down to, I think, as of today, it was reported in at 12%. So all that is going in the right direction. We need it to continue to go in the right direction. But we all have to also recognize that, you know, that's a reflection, really, of what took place, you know, a week or 2 weeks ago. So there's going to be a lag. And, you know, that's what, personally was frustrating, because that wasn't the story. The story was we were 25%. But, you know, we knew we weren't going to be at 25% 2 weeks after that. And as we know, we weren't on Saturday. But that trend has got to go in the right direction, and it is trending in the right way. Secondly, you know, just monitoring where are we with opt-outs. And, you know, right now we are, especially after, you know, announcing we weren't going to have fans for the first game, a lot more people and students opted out. And so that number is, you know, getting much lower and getting probably more into where the Kansas City Chiefs were, in that 17,000 range. You know, and it probably will get down to 15,000 by the time we get to Oklahoma. So that'll be a factor, because we've been watching that, you know, almost daily, just seeing where we are with fans opting out. And then the third piece was just getting some real data, you know, and so we did. We got data. We got to see who had fans this weekend. You know, I think the Chiefs were a really good indicator of what's possible. But, you know, Texas, you know, they let in 18,000. I didn't see the final numbers at Oklahoma, but I thought they were letting in 23,000. So, you know, we did get to see that, and there was a lot of places that did have fans that it went fine. And, you know, we'll be able to continue to monitor that this weekend with whatever happens in games on the 19th. So all three of those will go into the decision. My guess is, you know, by midweek next week, you know, we probably will know what we're going to do for the Oklahoma game.
Well, Jamie, I think you've done as good a job as anyone in the country from an athletic director standpoint of just communicating reality with the fans and helping the fans understand the dynamics of this whole situation and just being real about what's it mean for the budget, what's it mean for other sports and so forth. And I think people just appreciate that honesty. I mean, people can handle the truth if you give it to them, and you've done a great job of doing that. And so we obviously all want to be there to cheer on the team against Oklahoma. First and foremost, we wanted to be in the stadium, but what's it mean? Like, how important is it to you to get fans there these next five or six home games just to help survive this whole situation financially?
Well, I appreciate you saying what you said, Jack. And, I don't enjoy being aggressive and controversial, but I'm always going to be honest and I'm going to be transparent. It's the only way I know how to do things. And, you know, the irony of that, Jack, is people always say they want transparency until they don't like the transparency. You know, yeah. They don't want you to do that, right? So you got to, you know, the sword cuts on both sides. There's a lot of things that kind of bang around in my head on that issue, Jack. You know, normalcy. You know, the more we can get to normalcy, I think it's just better for all of us. Although I have to say, you know, my stomach was churning in the second half Saturday, and I didn't like that normalcy. So I could have done without that part of the normalcy. But, I think that's one. Secondly, you know, I want to do right by these student-athletes. And, they've put a lot of time and energy and sacrifice in. And, you know, and so if we can give them fans and do it in a safe manner, then I want to try to do that. Three, you know, I know what it means financially, and every dollar is going to help. And, you know, I look at what's happened at Iowa. I look what happened at Minnesota on Friday. And, you know, I'm just heartsick about those employees, about those student athletes that, you know, are losing opportunities. And so I want to fight for that. And, you know, and so all of that together just, you know, creates a scenario where you just feel a sense of responsibility to try to do everything in your power. In the end, if our fate is we can't have fans, then that's our fate. And if that fate has consequences that are unfortunate, you know, then at least I'll be able to put my head on the pillow at night and go, I tried everything possible. And that's all I'm trying to be transparent about is challenging us to not just take the easy way out or the politically correct way out is no, let's really talk about who's getting impacted by this. And, you know, I take that responsibility really to heart.
We're visiting with Jamie Pollard, and we have Jack Whitfer as our guest co-host tonight. We appreciate any comments or questions you have via Twitter using hashtag SideCorner, and we'll come back with more with Jamie on the Cyclone Coaches Corner on the Cyclone Radio Network from Learfield, IMG College.
As proud sponsors of Iowa State Cyclone football, your premier Chevy dealers know how important a great lineup truly is. In fact, they have a skilled team of their own with versatile SUVs like Equinox and dependable trucks like the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. With players like this, it's no wonder Chevy's the number one selling brand in Iowa. Visit moreiowansdrivechevy.com today to find a dealer near you. Based on IHS market calendar year-to-date, May 2020 new vehicle retail registrations in the state of Iowa.
The coalition to support Iowa's farmers, working beside you.
Hi, this is Coach Matt Campbell. I know that it takes a solid team to create success on the field, and the same is true for your livestock farm. The coalition to support Iowa's farmers can work beside you to develop a winning strategy. So add coalition to your lineup by calling 1-800-932-2436 or visit supportfarmers.com and get your team started today.
The coalition to support Iowa's farmers, your farm, your family. Our focus.
Successful teams are always scouting and recruiting. Our Latham corn team has the all-stars that put up the numbers to prove it. Latham 4937 VT Double Pro, a 99-day hybrid, is a high yielder with great defense and 8 first trial wins. Latham 5245 VT Double Pro is our MVP, an 11-time first trial winner, including top gross income in Northwest Iowa and tri-state regions in 2019. I'm John Latham. Let's talk recruiting at 877-GO-LATHAM or scoutlathamseeds.com for your winning team.
Every day you use energy to power your life, to wake up, to stay connected.
Hi, this is John. Oh, hey.
To feed your loved ones.
Dinner!
You don't even have to think about it, because at MidAmerican Energy, we do. We work hard to bring you energy you can count on every day, because the most important thing we put our energy into is you. We're MidAmerican Energy, and we're obsessively, relentlessly at your service.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service, and they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies, and that's something you can always count on.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Isles Online same day pickup. Just choose the get it faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Cyclone Coaches Corner. Jack Whitfer is our guest co-host tonight. We're visiting with Jamie Pollard. While the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series is on hold for this season, Iowa's corn farmers will continue to stand behind this unique series and everything it stands for, because here in Iowa, we grow corn, but the truth is, corn grows Iowa. Jamie, I want you to put your fan hat on for just a minute, and you mentioned your stomach was churning on Saturday. That's good. we haven't had a good Saturday of stomach churning for a while. What was your takeaway as a fan from the game? And you know Matt's history as well as anybody of how he tends to get his teams anything that's wrong corrected as the season goes forward. How confident are you that we'll see some improvement in some of those areas against TCU?
Well, you know, I was frustrated just like everybody else, just like probably our players and our coaching staff, because it, you know, it just didn't go the way I anticipated it to go. I mean, I knew in my heart that, you know, there were so many variables that were different than years past. And so you didn't ultimately know, you know, how it would play out. But I just didn't think it would play out the way it did. Not necessarily wins and losses, because I knew they were good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're a good team. I don't know how great a team they are, because I don't know what level we saw from our team to make that comparison. What I do know is that I have utmost confidence in Coach Campbell and his staff and our players to learn from this and be able to, you know, and continue to improve. They've shown it in his first 4 years here. And, you know, this isn't like we're playing with a group of players that we're hoping they're going to be good. I mean, right. They've been, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, Brock Purdy, you know, Breece Hall, you know, you name it, you know. You know, all these guys were good. And, you know, we for whatever reason, we didn't play at the level we know we've been accustomed to this team playing. And, you know, we got 2 weeks to get it fixed. And I have no hesitation to think we will be really improved when we go to TCU in 2 weeks.
You know, one thing we talked about on the Cyclone Reaction Show, or the Overreaction Show, as John would call it, is the old cliche is teams improve a lot from week one to week two. Probably the most they'll improve all year is from game one to game two, just because they're finally out there hitting people, you know, facing live snaps and in front of a crowd. And I think that probably in this situation that we're dealing with this year, I would expect more improvement than usual, just because everyone's trying to adapt to kind of the testing protocols and the practice protocols. And it's not just your normal year where you start August 1st, you have 25 practices and you play a game. Everyone's like, well, right. We'll practice, you know, half the team here and half the team there. And so what do you know about other schools, other athletic directors you talk to, and how they've tried to arrange practices and how they've been doing it different? And is there any advantage that teams have if they're cutting corners with the COVID, or just about the practice setup in general and the preparation in general?
Well, you know, one, Jack, you know, I'm not at those other places, so I hate saying, well, they're doing this or they're doing that. So I'm gonna start by just saying, I'm in my heart, I'm going to believe no one's cutting corners. But I think they may be, you know, I've been around enough coaches to know people deal with things differently. And, you know, and I think you've seen it play out by some programs having a lot of people, you know, be positive and be out. And I think one of the reasons that we've been so good on that front is we've just been very conservative about the health of our players and trying to say we're in this for the long haul. And, you know, maybe that approach was right for the health and safety, but it maybe, you know, didn't make us as sharp as we would want to be in week one, where somebody else may, you know, be running a little more wide open and they're seeing more positivity, but maybe their players are, you know, a little sharper early. I think in the long run, we'll be just fine because, you know, as Coach Campbell said, and he told the team in the locker room after the game, is as disappointing, as frustrating as it is not to win, you know, we've never been about any one game. We've been about a whole season. And he's prepared this team to play a season. And so we need to let the season play its out. And there's going to be highs and lows. We just got a low to start. And, you know, if we're true to form like we have been in previous years, there's going to be plenty of highs to come yet too.
Jamie, there's probably going to be some highs for the cross-country team again this year, the teams. It begins this weekend at KU. Can you give us a little feel about how the teams kind of stack up this year?
Well, you know, we're obviously very good. We're coming off an indoor, you know, last year, if it weren't for COVID, we maybe become the first Big 12 team to win the triple crown of cross-country, indoor track, and outdoor track. Hmm. You know, we had a team that was poised to compete for the indoor national championship. And you know, not only do they have the core of that team back, but they've also continued to recruit and have a couple of, you know, they got the junior college national champion, the junior college national runner-up. So, We are loaded. Some of our guys won't be at KU because they're still in Utah training at altitude, and won't come back down until sometime in October. And, you know, that's just the advantage of everything being online. So we're using it to our advantage and didn't bring them back before the first of the, you know, normally we'd have them back for school year, but because they're online, we just will keep them at altitude. So, but we have a really, really good men's team, and we've got a women's team that I think is going to surprise a lot of people because she's been able to, she recruited really well, has a good nucleus of underclassmen, and also got, you know, some junior college transfers that will help.
We also have a very good volleyball program over the last decade or more, and Christy Johnson-Lynch has another really good team back this year. Talk about what you expect to see from the volleyball team this year.
Well, you know, so volleyball won't go, they won't have their first competition until 2 weeks. You know, and it'll be interesting just because it'll all be just Big 12 competition. And then what the volleyball coaches agreed to do this year to kind of help save money is, you know, we're doing what they call a series schedule. So instead of our playing home and away like you typically do during basketball or volleyball, your partner, so for example, and I can't remember if it's there or here, but like when we play Texas, you know, we'll play at Texas on Friday night and then we'll play them again on Saturday night. Yet when we play Oklahoma, they'll both be in Hilton, you know, on Friday night, Saturday night, instead of making two separate trips. So, you know, what will be the impact of that on the overall season will be interesting to see. You know, Coach Johnson has just been an outstanding coach for us over the years. And you can always count on our team being very, very good and being very, you know, disciplined and continuing to get better throughout the year. But it will be interesting this year to start right with Big 12, because normally you get a feel for what your team's like by playing, you know, in a non-conference schedule, and Christie's usually played a pretty tough non-conference schedule. So maybe that'll help us, you know, as we jump into Big 12, that we'll be more ready early. But I expect our volleyball team to be good, you know, and so there's several Big 12 championships out there to be had: football, volleyball, cross country, and soccer. And I hope that we're in the hunt for at least several of them.
We're visiting with Jamie Pollard. We've got Jack Whitfer as our guest co-host tonight, and we're going to have more questions coming up for Jamie. If you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you on Twitter with hashtag SideCorner. Back with more with Jamie in a moment on the Cyclone Network from Learfield IMG College.
Providing food, feed, and fuel for the world is a tough job. Making a profit is even tougher. Sukup Manufacturing has a solution. Store now, profit later. Storing your grain in a Sukup bin is the best way to take charge of your grain, maximize your profits, and control your destiny. Sukup offers a full line of bins to fit your specific needs, and with over 80 patents, it's easy to see why Sukup is the world's fastest growing grain bin company. Visit sukup.com to find your local Sukup dealer today and learn how we can help you store now, profit later.
Like any winning team, it takes every part of EMC Insurance Companies working together to successfully ensure that our agents, policyholders, and employees can count on EMC. And they do. They count on our broad range of insurance products and services. They count on our superior level of personalized service. And they trust that we will continue to be a financially stable partner, just like we have been for more than 100 years. All of this makes EMC one of the nation's premier insurance companies. And that's something you can always count on.
At MidAmerican Energy, being obsessively, relentlessly at your service means delivering reliable, affordable energy to you. And it also means marking underground utility lines before you break ground to keep you safe. Trimming trees to keep them away from electric lines so power is there when you need it. And it means working safely and quickly to power your home and business, no matter what the weather. Obsessively, relentlessly at your service. That's MidAmerican Energy.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Isles Online same day pickup. Just choose the get it faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Looking for a new truck or SUV? Hurry into your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com where you'll save big on the full lineup of 2020 Ford models. Like the completely redesigned Escape and Explorer, the powerful Edge, the roomy Ford Expedition, or America's best-selling truck, Ford F-150. Buy now and get low financing on the Ford truck or SUV that's built for all of life's biggest adventures. Get to your local Northland Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com today. Best-selling truck claim based on 2019 CUI sales.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Our thanks to Mark Coberly. He joined us in the first portion of the program tonight. Jamie Pollard is our guest right now. We have Jack Whitfer as our guest co-host. So it's an all-star lineup, and then I'm here as well. Farm Credit Services of America and West Liberty Foods have partnered with Iowa State Athletics to sack hunger for the 2020 football season. Each quarterback sacked by the Cyclones this season yields another donation to the Iowa Food Bank Association. In reality, 1 in 7 children suffer from hunger, but with the help of Farm Credit Services and West Liberty Foods, each sack donates $1,000 and more than 300 pounds of food to help sack hunger in Iowa. Jamie, there's a very important day coming up for Cyclone Nation this week. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, it's hard to believe it was only 2 years ago because it seems like a lot longer than that. But, you know, Thursday will mark the second anniversary of, you know, the unfortunate, tragic loss of Thelia, our women's golfer. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a remembrance of how just god-awful that day was. And it'll be the worst day I'll ever have had as athletics director, and nothing will top it. I hope nothing ever tops it, because anything that tops it would be really tragic. So, you know, I'm glad we get to continue to honor her with our, you know, the Women's Female Athlete of the Year named after her. And but it's you know, one of those milestones that I'm sure there'll be a time on the 5th or the 10th or the whenever that there'll be, you know, a bigger, grander remembrance of it. But for me, you know, I keep the little playing card that I don't know who created those, but it's like a little baseball card, and I keep that on my desk, and it will always be right front and center, because it's something that, you know, as a student, as an athletics director, you know, when we take on all 450 of these athletes, we tell their parents that, you know, we're going to be their parent when their time is with us. And you know, as a parent, we weren't able to protect one of our own, and that will always not sit well with me.
Well said.
Yeah, that the first football game after that tragedy was, I've been going to Iowa State football games since I was literally born, and that moment and that remembrance of her with the whole stadium in gold is something I'll never forget as a Cyclone fan and alum, and just very special person to remember. Jamie, as we transition towards looking forward, and you know, this whole show has been about coronavirus, obviously, and kind of the adjustments and just the times we're in, I guess. But you know, I know a lot of people are starting to, you know, get excited for the winter sports as well. And what have those coaches learned, or what have you learned? What's the athletic department learned about preparing for a basketball season so that, you know, we can have a totally normal basketball season, or, you know, maybe not as a full Hilton, as close as possible to a normal basketball season? What lessons are you learning to bring forward for the winter sports?
Well, I'm going to guess. I didn't listen to it, but I'm guessing Mark Coverley talked about some of that, is of just how challenging it is to, you know, function as a team. And, you know, the smaller the team, the more risk that, you know, the contact tracing could wipe out a basketball team or a wrestling team, you know, almost instantly, you know, where at least in football, there's a sheer enough numbers that, you know, you can try to at least protect yourself some, but, you know, it wouldn't take long for a basketball team to get wiped out and not be able to, you know, be able to field a team or, you know, a wrestling team. So, you know, that's number one, is how do you just navigate all of that and make sure that you're constantly being diligent about, you know, when you're traveling. Think about it. You know, when you travel, you know, what we do in football, we'll, you know, we'll have the same players sit together on the plane that are rooming together, that are going to eat together, so that if somebody does test positive, you've kind of kept the contact tracing somewhat minimized. And, you know, in the sport of basketball, that's really hard. You know, it's a much smaller airplane. It's only, you know, 13 guys. Pretty hard to segregate them. And so that'll be probably the biggest challenge, right? And is just how do you do that successfully and still actually have a team? So that's number one. And then number two is just getting your mindset that it won't be normal. You know, I struggle today to imagine that we're going to have fans or much of fans in a basketball arena indoors in the winter. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, today I question how we could do that. You know, and so that'll be a different environment for the winter teams. You know, and then three is, you know, we'll learn this week, at least with basketball, when the schedule is going to start. You know, and you know, the sports of swimming and wrestling, you know, that hasn't even been put forth yet. And so that, you know, that'll be another whole set of changes. You know, in basketball, I'm in a meeting tomorrow where we'll be talking exactly about this issue, with which games are we keeping, which games are we losing because of the start of the basketball season, which ones can we reschedule, do you want to reschedule them, is it worth it, you know, do we go to an MTE down in Florida? Do we risk doing that so that when we come back, we may not be able to answer the bell for a Big 12 game or a Big 12 basketball television inventory game? You know, those are all real questions that we have to ask ourselves today and that we never had to think about before.
We're going to come back. We got to sneak in one more break here, but we'll come back with more with Jamie Pollard in just a moment on the Cyclone Network from Learfield IMG College.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging, and software to run geospatial analysis, and an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Now order your groceries online and get them even faster with Hy-Vee Aisles Online same-day pickup. Just choose the Get It Faster option for only $9.95 and pick up your groceries in as little as 2 hours. Plus, we've added even more pickup times to choose from. You'll find the same great deals as in-store. Free pickup on orders over $30 and no contact pickup and delivery. Download the Hy-Vee Grocery app today and pick up groceries in as little as 2 hours. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Coach's Corner. Golden Harvest is relentless, delivering genetics, agronomy, and service, doing whatever it takes for our farmers 365 days a year. We're visiting with Jamie Pollard and Jack Whitfer, our guest co-host tonight. Jamie, there's a lot of speculation this week about what may or may not happen with the Big Ten Conference. Will their decision have any impact on us in the Big 12 in any way?
I mean, directly, probably not. I mean, you know, you're hearing a lot of, you know, well, they're going to do this kind of testing or do that kind of testing. And, you know, does that going to change what we'll do? And, you know, they decided not to play. That didn't change what we were going to do. You know, indirectly, if they came back, I mean, that will impact whatever happens with the college football playoff. And, you know, but that's okay, too. So for their sake, you know, I hope they do come back because, you know, those I care about trying to help our student athletes, and I'd like to see their student athletes have opportunities as well.
Jamie, one thing the NCAA did when all of this started to happen was talk about the scholarships and getting an extra year of eligibility to players. And so I've read a couple different articles, but talk about, one, what the rule is. Does everyone get a year extra? Is Brock Purdy essentially a sophomore again? Or and then how does that impact the teams and recruiting and scholarships and finances and everything else you're trying to prepare for?
Great question, Jack. And so the short answer is yes to everything. been back to them all. So all that's been done so far, at least for this year, I'm going to leave last year's behind for a second. For this year is the fall sport. So it's just been football, soccer, volleyball, cross country. And those four sports, basically this year, it doesn't count towards your eligibility. So, yes, Brock Purdy is a sophomore or he's, a redshirt junior. So, in theory, you have 3 years of eligibility left counting this one. That's very student-athlete friendly in those four sports. And so, I'm excited for those student-athletes because that's, what they wanted going in. Now, the issues that causes, financially, yes, it's, in football, it's 20 to 25 more seniors that potentially could be coming back. From an opportunity standpoint, that means next year's roster, we won't have 80. If all of them came back, we're not going to have 85 scholarships. We're going to have 105 or 110 scholarship players. That also means less opportunity because you got five, scholarship classes all on that roster. So somebody's not going to see the field that maybe would have saw the field if those seniors wouldn't have been there for another year. You also have, you think of the record book and, how we're going to deal with that. Yeah. I mean, Brock Purdy will probably set the all-time passing record in, 3.5 years, but now he's going to get 5 years to do it. So he could put a record out there that'll, be untouchable absent COVID again. And, I've joked with my son on the cross-country team. He could be part of five Big 12 cross-country championships and be part of, five-time first-team Big 12 cross-country runner. And I kidded him. I said, I don't think that record can be broken unless COVID goes another year and we let you go for six.
Careful what you wish for here.
Yeah, he goes, after 8 years, I think it'd be time for me to leave school. But,
that's what I did.
There's going to be some asterisks like that. Then the issue that I started talking about today that I'm going to bring up tomorrow on the Big 12 call is, the football players didn't want to play this year unless they knew their eligibility, what it was going to mean to them. And we, when I say Dr. Winterstein and I voted throughout this process that way, student athlete first. And so I have that same question now for the winter sports. The NCAA is going to announce on Wednesday when the basketball season starts. But if I was a basketball player, that's important. You're telling me when I'm going to start, but I want to know what happens if we don't finish. Is that a year of eligibility or, or if I'm David Carr, the wrestler, I could get through my sophomore year and never got to a wrestle in the NCAA tournament because both years the season got canceled before we got to the NCAA. And so I'd want to know that this go around. And so I think that that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with as an industry really quick here because that could legitimately happen.
Well, I think we have had a great conversation here tonight, Jamie. Appreciate you taking the time as always. I know you've got a lot of balls in the air right now, so thanks for taking some time again. And, Jack, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a quick hour and a half and an enlightening hour and a half. Appreciate both of you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, both of you. And Cyclone fans, we appreciate you listening all season long on the Cyclone Network from Learfield IMG College.
This has been the Cyclone Coach's Corner, brought to you by Bud Light. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Iowa Secretary of State and Iowa Voter Ready. Coach Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones encourages you to be a voter. VoterReady.iowa.gov. And by Rob Seco, an independent seed company.
bringing you the product choices you deserve from the people you can trust. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Cyclone Sports Network.